This message is brought to you by The Covenant Nation.
Let's put our hands together for the Lord. Well, if you did not borrow your hands that you brought to this place, celebrate Christ with those hands. And lift those hands and shout aloud, hallelujah. Amen. What a beautiful day. Good morning, everybody. Did you sleep well? Praise God. And did you have a dream that it would be better for you? By the power of the Lord, this will be your better season. Look around and just celebrate somebody and say, I love the Lord who is walking in your life. Yeah, hallelujah. Go ahead and do that. Amen and amen. Now, I want us to celebrate the great man of God, our chief host, our convener, the visionary of our World Cup. Wolf Beck is another global meeting, a place where God is touching lives. And these are our visionaries, Pastor Poju and Pastor Mrs. Poju Oyemade. Thank you. Thank you for obeying the voice of God. The Lord be with you. All the great men and women in the house, we appreciate and celebrate you. And I pray that God will continue to lift you up. God will continue to bless you. For all of you who are workers, running with the vision, you will not die young. You are raising up the hands of the man of God to make sure that things work well. Some of you are spending your money. Some of you, your time. And everything you're doing is not going to be in vain. In the mighty name of Jesus. There are also sons and daughters of the prophet who came with me today. Pastor Isaac Abiera is here. That's the son of Papa Biara. God bless you. Pastor Lami Julo, blessing. Where are you? He's somewhere in the crowd. God bless you. Pastor Bumi Babatunde is somewhere in the crowd. Out there. God bless you. Pastor Kola Shomuiwa. Thank you all. Many of them. Where is Evangelist Tokwe Ojo? Somewhere. God bless you all. The Lord be with you. And so many of them are here to be part of the fellowship. They are here to be part of this great program. Nobody wants to miss out on what God is doing. And the Lord has been telling me that there are some of you here who will be separated for great assignments in the name of Jesus. So be prepared in gatherings like these. It will be like in Acts of Apostles chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. There were apostles there. There were prophets there. Great men and women were gathered in Antioch. You can leave it on the screen, sir, media, please. It says, at Antioch, and teachers were there. It's Barnabas and Simeon, and that was called Niger. And Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with the Herod the Tetrarch and Saul, go to verse number 2. As the minister to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. A decree by the authority of God, something unique, the Lord will separate you for that thing today. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I pray that you will speak to our lives. I pray that you will also speak to our situations. I pray, Father, that you will speak to our spirit. That nobody will go home dry. We will be wet and be soaked with your glory. We will be wet and be soaked with your power. Something uncommon, something unusual shall be deposited upon our lives in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Put your hands together for the Lord as you take your seat in His presence. Open your Bibles to Acts of Apostles, chapter 1, and they can put it on the screen for us, any version. I want to read verses 4 to 8. Acts of Apostles, chapter 1. I'll read from verse number 4 to verse number 8. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Let's go to the next verse. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Yes, go ahead. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Let's take it further. We go into verse 7. And then he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father had put in his own power. Let's take verse number 8. But ye shall receive power. Everybody say power.
Power.
After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses. Everybody say witnesses. Unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the utmost part of the earth. Let us complement this text with Isaiah chapter 40, verses 29 to 31. Isaiah 40, 29 to 31. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But, that's the conjunction word. But they that wait upon the Lord, when the youths fail, when the wealthy fail, when some who had been running faster than you, when they fail, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. I know that in this service, we have a lot of workers, a lot of laborers in the vineyard of the Lord. We have a lot of us here today, as this is a powerful gathering of great men and women of God, great children of God, great ministers, those who have started for decades, those who are still in the middle of the race, and those who are running and walking well. And everyone is a target of the devil. Let me help you to understand that the devil is not happy with your success. And you must be determined to continue to run the race without failing and without falling. The reason is you have come too far. You can't turn back right now. You have abused the devil. You have called him all sort of names. Hallelujah. Please don't go back to where he will get you. He will really punish you. You have said a lot of things about demons. You've called them bastards. So please don't let them get you. All of us, as we are running and doing everything that God has in mind for us, the devil is determined. He can follow someone quietly for 30 years, and when he sees that you are now lukewarm, when he sees that you have seen all of God, you don't see God finish. He can no longer give you instructions. The Holy Spirit cannot take you out from your comfort zone. Then the enemy say, this is the best time to get him. But I pray for you, you will not fail and you will not fall in the name of Jesus. So in this kind of gathering, the Lord will separate some people onto a special service. And the power that will make him do that with you will be evident in your life during this conference. Men and women of God are coming up, and some have been teaching and preaching and prophesying over your life. You must not just miss it. Everything that you will fulfill for God, they are packaged also in this convention. And it will be our joy to see you come out of this place and go in that power and achieve great things for the Lord. Elijah ate 2 plates of food from an angel. And the Bible says he went in the strength of that divine food. And he walked for 40 days and 40 nights. It is no exaggeration. Am I talking to somebody? He went in the power of that food. And when the angel also visited Gideon and spoke to him and called him a mighty man of valor, he commanded him, go in this your power. This one that you have received, this conversation, this meeting with me. Go in the power of that knowledge and revelation. Go in that new anointing and deliver Israel. So as you leave this convention this week, you will go in that power. And you will shake the shakeables in the mighty name of Jesus. You can see that the Lord said to his disciples here, and you shall receive power. And that's what he promised us with many other things that the power will bring, that the indwelling Holy Spirit will bring. He didn't promise us charisma because he knows that will not shake the devil. He said, I give you power over the devil, over demons. He didn't say, I give you charisma. You see, men can form charisma, but you cannot form the power. You understand what I'm saying? You can be stylish in the way you sing. You can be stylish in the way you preach. Men can form that. You can be a dribbler like those great footballers. But those who will truly overcome the devil and the powers of darkness are those who receive the power that is above. Hallelujah. While we were in Loring, around 1984, at the Bible College, and because we had started the work of the ministry in 1981 and just wanted to add knowledge to knowledge by going to the Bible school, we got there, and one of the times in which we had crusades, we challenged demons and we operated under the anointing of God to liberate people from darkness and from bondages. So a few weeks later, somebody also set up a crusade. And then he too began to challenge demons. And he was giving them time and place to come to. If you are born well, meet me at so-so-so point. He was challenging them. That was the first day of the crusade. By the second day, he found himself by the roadside. He was sleeping in his hotel. Overnight, he found himself by the roadside. He woke up when he heard the footsteps of people moving up and down with his cover cloth on his head. He removed it and saw that people were walking up and down. He removed the entire cloth and looked at himself with his mattress on the floor. On the street, somebody who slept in the hotel overnight, the powers that be carried him, brought him to the road. He didn't continue the crusade. He left that place. Hallelujah. There was another man of God who was preaching. And as he was preaching, he began to talk and you know, a lot of charisma can be there. I have mine too. Praise the Lord. But I don't do charisma without the power. I can invent charisma, but I can't invent the power. You receive the power. He said, you shall receive. So as he was preaching, he was hopping up and down. And then he was talking to witches and wizards, talking to them. By the time he came to the pulpit, his Bible and notebook had disappeared. I'm telling you a true story. So he looked around and continued to preach with style, looking for his Bible. He was even thinking, but I've just started to preach. have I overused my time? Did the ushers come and pack my Bible? So stylishly, he will go again. Anyway, he managed to finish the sermon. Hallelujah. As he got to the hotel and was wondering, he didn't know who to ask. Two women showed up. And they said, Bibeli, don't worry. This is the Bible you are looking for. You were preaching against us. Oh, Mawa. This is your sermon notebook. We just showed you a sign that we are around. Praise the Lord. So you have to be determined to get this power. Am I talking to somebody in the house? Somebody say, Lord, release the power to me. Now, the Bible helps me to understand very well that Daniel was praying, and God told him, you know the story. I just want to talk about the ABC of the Bible. Like I said, I love to talk about the ABC of the Bible. I leave the XYZ to all the theologians and the Bible expositors. Just leave me with the ABC. Hallelujah. I'm comfortable with that. The simplicity of the Bible. He prayed, and when he continued to pray because he was expecting something. He wanted a sign. He wanted a manifestation, something that would make him realize that God has answered his prayers. He didn't get it, so he continued. He didn't get it for 21 days. He continued. Then an angel came and said to him, from the first day that you started this prayer and you wanted to know certain things, God had answered your prayer. And he said, if God answered the prayer, what took you so long? He said, well, while I was coming, the prince of Persia, a symbol of who the devil is, withstood me these 21 days. Am I communicating the Bible to you? He said, but then Archangel Gabriel came to rescue me. And I began to look at it. If the devil can stop an angel, then you must be determined to pray beyond that level. If he can say to an angel, stop here at this point, stop here at this level. The principalities can say, we're not going to let you pass this level. Just wait. But someone of a greater authority, and that particular person that we are talking about, I just want to give you this introduction as we go into some things that will help you to receive what the Lord has in stock for you. He was like a subordinate angel to Brother Lucy, as I mentioned yesterday, Lucifer, his name, so I always call him Brother Lucy, because he can pretend to be a churchgoer sometimes. He can pretend to be a minister, so I just give him the word brother also. He can appear that way. So now, Brother Lucy, by name, Lucifer, or the one you call the evil one, Satan. He was the archangel, the anointed cherub in heaven, who was there to see the throne of God. And he had all the authority and the power to behold the throne of God. A covering angel has been described in the book of Ezekiel 28. Just hold on to it. I always give people those scriptures so they go back home and meditate. And the one that I want to point to, I'll ask them to show them or show that on the screen. And so now he was an archangel that is above all the other angels. He could see the throne of God, and God will beam his glory through him. And other angels will see the reflection of the glory and the throne. It was while he was gazing at the throne every time that he said, I will lift my throne above this one. The Bible says it was perfect from the day he was created until iniquity or wickedness was found in him. While he was beholding the glory every time, he said to himself, I can raise my throne above the throne of God. I can be bigger than this. And he went to convince 2/3 of the angels in heaven. If you follow me, I will make you greater than what the Lord has made you to be. And 2/3 of the angels believed his message. And they got converted. And they got derailed. That archangel, when he lost his position, the subordinate angels came above him. That's where I'm going. To the point that they could now deal with him in the name of the Lord of hosts. Archangel Michael could now command him to move away. Archangel Michael could, while disputing with him over the body of Moses, can say to him, the Lord rebuke you.
Before that time, he was greater than all other angels. But when he lost his position, God raised those angels above him. And now, God has given us much more authority through Christ. I'm talking to somebody in the house. Every power that is standing in your way that will let you fulfill your destiny shall bow to you in the name of Jesus. Somebody say, I am determined and I will get it. But along the line, so many of us have our questions. Just like the disciples. When will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? You have your question. I've been married. I was a virgin before I got married. I have no child. Lord, when will you answer me? I didn't mess up myself as a youth. Why has this befallen me? You have questions. Some people are getting frustrated. Some are getting tired. I met a man of God one day. I just saw him while we were driving on along the road. And I said to my driver, just slow down. Let me talk to this man of God. Hello, Pastor. How are you? He said, yes, sir. How are you doing? I said, fine. He said, sir, before you go, do you want to buy a church? I said, buy a church. It's okay. He said, buy. I said, buy. I mean it, buy. I said, which church? He said, my church. I said, you want to sell your church building? He said, everything and everyone in there. I said to him, everything and everyone. He said, in Yoruba, one fek mimi lemi. And me ti fe bo. I'm almost gone. They want to kill me. He said, just once you buy the building, you buy the elders, all the deacons. I said, I thought it's only the church, but he said, everything. Go, go, attack, honey, just buy. Hallelujah. Otisulunjebe. He was fed up with the work of the ministry. He was tired. He was doing his very best, but everything was going wrong. So he decided to sell all of them. You can see things are happening in life. But as for you, I pray the power to keep going shall rest upon you. You may have your questions too. When will you at this time? We have seen your mighty works. We have seen the unusual. Only one thing is remaining, and you promised us, and the scriptures promised us, that when the Messiah comes, he will deliver us from the Roman Empire. He will give us our political emancipation. The Roman Empire was in charge, and somehow they were ruling the Jews in a way that the Jews didn't like it. So they kept praying for the promise of the Messiah. And by the time Jesus came, they were divided over this Lord, this Messiah. He was meant to be born as a king. And for a king to be born, he should not be born in a manger. He should be born in a palace. Am I right? So he will first be called the prince, which Isaiah had mentioned as the prince of peace. But how can a prince be born in a manger? So they were looking at it with the natural eyes. And they were questioning. While some believed, some said, we won't believe this one. We will wait for the Messiah. And then he was born into the family of a carpenter. So some said, how can he, who is meant to be the son of a king and later become the king, be born to a carpenter that we don't even know his pedigree? So they were wondering, what is it? And then when they saw him again, he was working wonders, preaching and teaching powerfully. But most of the time he was walking barefooted, or he was walking with sandals, and only on a few occasions he rode a donkey. And they wondered, is this one the king that we are waiting for? Even John the Baptist at the point said, are you the one, or should we look for another? So they said, now at least we have seen you die and you have resurrected. So we know that you carry more than we are imagining. That's why when Jesus asked his disciples, you move with the people, who do they say that I am? They said, you are Jeremiah the prophet, is Elijah the prophet. And I would always say to people, they mention great names, but yet Jesus was not Jeremiah. Jesus was not Isaiah. Jesus was not Elijah. They said, okay, so who do you, my disciples, haven't walked with me all of these years? Who do you say that I am? Nobody could talk, because they were expecting him to be either Elijah reincarnate, they were expecting him to be Jeremiah or one of the prophets. That was the mentality. And so when he was not one of them, they all kept quiet. And only Peter was able to say, you are Christ, the Son of the Most High God. And Jesus said, it's not flesh and blood that revealed that to you. The revelation has come only from my heavenly Father. And upon this type of revelation will I build my church. So even the disciples at a point in time were wondering, who is this man that we are following? Are we on the right track? Are we sure we know who we are following? Is he truly the Messiah? All the signs that could make him the Messiah, we have seen some and we are yet to see some. So he died. And even after he died, some did not believe that he would resurrect. And when he showed himself to them, they now said, oh, we believe. Even Thomas, who said, I will not believe until I see the mark, the sign. Oh, yes, because they've been, it's been in their mind. They've been doubting for a long time. But occasionally, words of encouragement, signs and wonders will confirm him to them. But when they moved into the world again, they saw something different. And so they keep asking questions. And you too may have your own question this morning. That's where I'm going. And you're wondering, all these years in the work of the ministry, I've given my best, but Lord, why is this still happening to me? Will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Because if a Roman soldier met you on the road, by law, you must carry his bag and walk for 1 mile. But by love that Jesus preached, be ready to walk 2 miles with him. But by law, you must carry his bag. So imagine you're going to sit for your WAEC exams. And you met a Roman soldier. And he says, take my bag, carry it. And he says, I'm sitting for physics this morning. Carry my bag. And you carry it for 1 mile while your other colleagues have started writing their paper. By the time you drop it, by law, you don't have to ask for his permission. Once you see it's 1 mile, drop the bag. But as you want to run off, another soldier comes out from his house. And he says, boy, take my bag. You're a Jewish boy. Carry my bag. So they needed that political emancipation desperately. When will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? You have died, you've resurrected, you're talking about your ascension, going to the Father. And he said, you are asking for something little. I want you to receive a greater power that will be beyond political emancipation. It will bring you spiritual liberation. It will bring you political liberation. It will bring you financial liberation. It will bring you all that you want in life. He says, then it will not just be at Jerusalem. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea. The power will carry you beyond Judea to Samaria. It will take you beyond Samaria to the uttermost. The uttermost that time was the Roman Empire. There was no place like America then, no place like Nigeria or Africa or the Middle East or the Far East. But then, when you read Psalm 2 very well, it tells you that if you ask of me, I will give you nations as your inheritance, and I will give you the ends of the earth, that will include Africa, that will include Asia, that will include the Far East. The power will be able to take you beyond just your own vicinity. After today, I decree by the authority of God, power that will carry you and move you higher will rest upon you in the name of Jesus. So as you have your question, he's saying to you, I'm going to do something with you. And it will become a movement. These days, most of the things we have are monuments. They have started walking for some time. They've been moving. All of a sudden, they've become what? Monument. We have seen the ministry of those who had been pulling down the citadel of the devil. Movement. When there was movement, there was a lot of celebration. But suddenly movement turned into. And those that you would have expected to have people take the baton from them, they have suddenly stopped before giving out the baton because they have become monuments. So the Lord is saying, I'm going to move you from your comfort zone. I'm going to move you from Jerusalem. I will move you from Judea. I will move you from Samaria. You will reach out to the ends of the earth. I'm not going to give anointing for you to sit down comfortably. I'm not going to give you anointing so that you can only witness to those that you choose to witness to. I will give you that anointing so you will enter into the forbidden forest. You will conquer kingdoms. You will raise the banner of Jesus where they don't want to hear him. I decree over your life, you shall be empowered. In the name of the Father, in the name of a Son, and in the name of a Holy Ghost. R.W. Schambach of blessed memory said, sometimes they will come into the service and anoint people. Bless them and tell them you can do it for the Lord. There will be times they will bless bottles of oil and give it to people. Go pray for people. Pray for the sick. That's the command. And one day, they told him that one of the young boys in the church that was always active had not been coming to church for a long time. So he made an inquiry and they realized that the boy had been locked up in the cell. Why? He went to the hospital and he will go and begin to pray for the sick in the hospital. And by the power of the Lord, they were getting healed. So the hospital called the police to arrest him for discharging patients with anointing oil. So they arrested him, but they could not prosecute him because truly the patients were coming out of the sickbed healed, but the hospitals were saying it cannot be. What we have not been able to do with orthodox medicine, he's doing with anointing oil. Arrest him. He's taking all our patients out. Arrest him. So they arrested him. R.W. Schambach said, is that the reason why they arrested him? He said, that's a good reason. And you know, R.W. Schambach was a radical man of God. So, the day they took the boy to court, and they wanted to prosecute him, and they read out his case, the judge said, you brought somebody to my court for discharging patients with anointing oil? What type of case is that? Because the last one, somebody had died. As he was getting into the hospital ward, a lot of doctors were around the person. He saw them pull the sheet over the face of the person. So he didn't go to other patients. He waited at the door. As soon as they left, so that the nurses could come, and they would come and pack the cups, he quickly went there, removed the sheet, and there were some other patients watching. He removed the sheet over that and began to say, in the name of Jesus, come back to life. He took part of the oil, poured on the face and began to anoint him and say, you must come back to life. And suddenly, the man sneezed and came back to life. So the hospital authority came again and said, this boy, arrest him. That was the last offense. So they brought him to court. And they said, he's discharging and healing people. We even learned that he raised the dead with the oil. When the judge heard that, he said, boy, come closer. Come closer. And he whispered in his ears, did you come with a bottle of oil? Because I need some. And the boy said, yes, it's in my pocket. So he said to everybody, well, how can you bring somebody who is helping you to get your patients out quickly. So I discharge him and he's acquitted. So when he said everybody should go, he said, but you stay here. I need some of the oil. R.W. Schambach said, this is what the church ought to be doing. We are loaded with the power, but we are not walking with the power. Somebody is doubting it. Somebody is afraid. Will it happen or will it not happen? You go first and see whether the Lord will not back up his word. I'm talking to somebody here. You shall arise and you shall do the work with power. In Acts of Apostles chapter 1, there, he said, go and wait for the promise. I mentioned that yesterday, that I will come back to it today. Go and wait for the promise. How many people were in the upper room? You are students of the Bible. How many? How could 120 people be in the upper room? Sir, when he appeared to people after his resurrection, he appeared to not less than 500 people. Different groups. In one particular group, 500. So where were the 380? Where did they go to? Only 120? He spoke to 11. They mentioned to others as they were going, we're not going back home, we just saw the Lord on Mount Olive. He said we should go and wait in the upper room. Women joined them. Market women joined them. Those who had believed joined them. 120. But those who saw the resurrected Christ, those who had seen the miraculous, those who had encountered God on the highway, they felt it was not necessary because they didn't even know how long it will take to be in the upper room. And the disciples waited 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. He didn't show up. The promise didn't show up. But they continued like Daniel of the Old Testament. I'm still talking to the Lord. I haven't received the sign to know that God is working on my request. In the days of our fathers, Apostle Babalola and the other great men of God, if they had prayer requests, they would put one bottle of water and then one prayer request beside it. They would pray around it. And the water will begin to boil. And when it becomes hot and it boils, they put it aside. They said, the Lord has answered that prayer. They put another bottle down and another prayer request. They will stand and pray. It might be for 4, 5, 6 hours. The water will begin to boil. And then they say, God has answered this prayer. It is in this day, this generation, that we are tired of praying. I come in the name of the Lord of hosts, and I challenge you from today. Power shall rest upon you. This is what the Lord wants the church to be like. It's a church of power, not a church of stories, not a church of convenience. It's a church of power, not a church of fighting and attacking ourselves. It's a church of attacking the devil, a church of casting out demons, a church of trampling upon serpents and scorpions, not upon ourselves as believers. Today, I prophesy over your life, you will live up to the expectation of the Lord Almighty. Somebody shout, my Father, change my mentality. Change the way I reason. Open your mouth and begin to pray to the Lord. Oh, change me, Lord. I need a change. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Listen to me. In those days of our own great fathers, and I will still speak. You can have your seat. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you, ma'am. I will speak of some other patriarchs and fathers of other faiths and other denominations. In the days of Apostle Ayababalala and the Akieles, and those great men and women of God, wherever they had what we call meeting, whether it's administrative meeting or ministry meeting, whatever they had as a meeting, people will be around waiting for them to finish up with their meeting. Do you know what? When they say the benediction and they leave, people don't go to them and say, Papa, pray for me. You know what they do? They go to where they held a meeting. The baron begins to roll on the floor there. The lame begins to rub his body on where they sat down or put their feet to hold the meeting. They get healed and they get delivered. Because in such a meeting, there is unity, there is holiness. It is not like in today's meeting, where at the meeting, an elder will carry a pastor and give him a body slam. Where they are fighting over an issue. They are deliberating over money. They begin to say, you don't know me. Ko itan lara mi o. Kin to gba Jesu, igbo ni mo kokko gba. So, pastor to ba fe ba mi, emi o kan mo hun awon mo ta lo ni. I've used that. Pastor to ba fe ba mi dodo kudowo, e die to ku lara mi a manifest. It is not in such a place that God will use the shadows of the apostles to work miracles. It's not a place like that where the saliva of the men of God will bring about healing. It's not the place where you rock the boat to make sure that somebody goes down and somebody is pushed out of the church because you don't like the face of that person. That's not where the miracle will take place. The miracle will take place where people can be united about the power, about the glory, about the name of Jesus, about the kingdom assignment. Somebody lift your hand towards heaven and say, Lord, help me. Robert Schuller of Church Growth Ministry and Conference and Dr. Yonggi Cho, both of blessed memory, wrote a book many years ago, and I read the book. They said every time they gathered to go for open air crusade, the first thing they did was, look, we are going out to show the people the kingdom. Every one of us here, let's talk to ourselves. Is there anybody who is hurt by somebody's feeling? Has anybody offended you? Let's confess to ourselves. Let's forgive ourselves before we move out to address the people's problems. And that's when you will find out somebody will say, sir, she took my bag away from the seat where I kept it. And that's when somebody will say, I never wanted to talk to this person again in my life. I was just waiting for this conference to be over. And all of them will forgive themselves, will weep over their shoulders, embrace themselves, and then they march out in power. Before they get to the field, people are already getting healed. People are getting delivered. People are getting saved. Because in the place of unity, it is a place of power. I decree over your life, receive what it takes. So we are losing it today because you want to be an individual to build the entire forest. You don't want to walk with people. You don't want to walk with the church. Do you even know when they call us the body of Christ? Maybe your ministry is just like one nail on one finger of the body of Christ. Maybe your is just one hair strand in the body of Christ. And you think that's the only thing doing the work all around the world? You are too full of yourself. And God is saying that's not what I wanted the church to be. Those who could be full of themselves, decrease themselves. John the Baptist said, I decrease and let him increase. The man who could boast of bridging the gap between the silent years and the days of Herald. 400 silent years, no prophecy, no vision, nothing. John the Baptist was the voice they heard after 400 years. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. And everybody began to wonder, where is the voice coming from? We haven't heard this in centuries. So they began to trace the voice. And they met him. When I was in Israel and I visited the place, I realized from where he was shouting to the city, it was more than 5 kilometers. Without microphone, without speakers, they were hearing his voice. Because something was working, the engine on the inside of this man was going into the air, controlling the air carrying the waves of his voice to the city. After today, you shall be empowered. He baptized Jesus. If he were to be a minister today, say, don't you know me? He was 6 months older than his cousin. Do you know, one day, while he was doing the same baptism, Jesus was passing by. He quickly told his disciples, "See the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." And two of his disciples left him for introducing Jesus. They went to follow Jesus. If it is today, that pastor becomes the enemy of the Messiah. That two of his disciples left and followed Jesus. But he was so glad that he had introduced Jesus to them. He said, "That's my assignment. I decrease, let him increase." And as he was saying, "I decrease, let him increase," Jesus kept saying, "There has not been any man born of a woman that has been greater than John the Baptist." On Sunday, I will talk about that. If I don't say it, shout from where you are, "John the Baptist." I will remember and talk about it. The details as given by the Holy Ghost. But here today, your questions, the pastors may not be able to answer all your questions, but the Bible will give you answers to all your questions. That's why back then in those days, the Roman Catholic Church, they said, "Well, these are the people. Next is the Bible. And after that is the Pope." Not our own Pope here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whatever the Bible does not solve, the Pope will solve it. Then Martin Luther came up and said, "No, whatever the Pope cannot solve, then the Bible will solve it." The Bible is the final authority, not the Pope. Am I talking to somebody? That is what some people want to become. They want to become the final authority. But Christ is the final authority. He's the final authority. He's the final authority. Somebody shout, "Jesus." Jesus. Say it again, "Jesus." Jesus. So whatever you are doing for the Lord, don't think that your labor is in vain. Ushers, keep serving. Protocol, media, those of you who are working with pastors, associates, sweepers, keep serving. The Lord will reward you one day. I learned of a white woman, a single mother, who was washing the toilet in their church, washing it regularly. And all of a sudden, the boy, she had a boy that she would always, you know, in Africa, we back our babies. In the Western world, they put their babies in front. Is there any difference? Just carry the baby. Hallelujah. So she carried her baby and will walk in the toilet. And she will do it with all of her heart. And one day she heard the voice of God in the toilet. "No matter what, call upon me, I will answer you." She looked around. She didn't know who spoke. Then the Holy Spirit said, "That was God talking to you." And she was happy she left the toilet. And the boy grew, graduated, and got married, or was planning for his wedding. And a few weeks to that wedding, he had an accident and he died. And when they were planning the funeral, and people came to console the woman, and they said, "Well, today we're going to bury the boy." She said, "Can you do me one favor? I haven't seen him since he died. Can you bring his casket to the house?" They said, "It will be too much for you to bear." She said, "Just do that favor for me." And they brought the boy in the casket. And she said, "Do me another favor. Can you follow me in that casket, with that casket, to the church? And they went to the church. They thought she just wanted to pray the last prayer. Then she said, do me just the last favor. Help me put the cups on my back. They said, Mom, maybe something is going on in her mind. It's becoming a psychological problem. Please, let's just go and bury him. She said, just one more favor. After that, you can do whatever you want. Just put him on my back. And they put the cups on the woman's back with the legs dragging on the floor. And she said, everybody just back off. Leave me. And then she went to look for the toilet where she had been washing the boy. And she got there trembling. And when she got there weeping, she said, God, you told me years ago, whatever happens, call me and I will answer. You said, God, give me back my boy. And the boy sneezed on her back. And the boy got up. And he looked and said, Mom, he said, the Lord told me whatever happens, let's go back and meet with them outside. When the boy and the woman came out, everybody backed up and they were wondering, what is this? The Lord said to me, whatever happens, call unto me and I will answer you. Your labor shall not be in vain. Somebody shout power. Say, I want the power. You are thinking the Lord is not seeing what you're doing for him. You're getting frustrated. You are checking yourself, your record with the record of other ministers. You're missing it. The Lord knows how to deal with your situation. He knows the labor of your love. He will not forget you. One of the disciples of Apostle Babalola, direct disciple, I always call myself a third generation. Please have your seat. Apostle Babalola, first generation, he's lieutenant. Pastor Babajide was my spiritual father. Pastor Badari was my first mentor. This man taught me prayer. So everything that the Apostle Babalola told him, he revealed a lot to me. Hallelujah. Great man of God. And he was the second general evangelist after Apostle Babalola. He was my spiritual father, so I learned a lot of secrets from him. So I see him as the second generation, and I see myself as the third generation because I worked with most of his disciples. And so, direct revelations. One of them was one of our lecturers when we were being prepared for pastoral ordination after serving as evangelist for 7 years. In 1988, we were going to be prepared for pastoral ordination. Pastor M.B. Oyeyemi, of blessed memory, shared this with me. And he said, there were days they would call them catechists, teachers in the church, not those who are running for that. And they look for big titles today, executive titles in the church. And he was laying in the church with boxers and singlet. And somebody walked in and came and said to him, can I see you? I just want to talk with you, sir. As he was following him, he said, I can't go out with you with ordinary singlet. Two other evangelists were sleeping in the church hall. So he took his shirt and followed the man. They got to the church gate facing the road. They were talking. And the man said to him, I would have brought this vehicle a long time. This car is a gift to you. When he saw it, he said, hold on. He ran inside with the car keys to wake the other ones and said to them, are you sleeping or I'm the one sleeping? They said, we are the one sleeping. You just woke us from sleep. He said, follow me, quickly. When they got outside, the man was no longer there, but the car was there. He said, one man gave me these car keys. And so then there was a woman selling oranges across the road. He said, Mama, the man that I was talking to, you were looking at me, you greeted me. That man, where did he go? The woman said, sir, I wanted to ask you, Kilo she babalini? What happened to Daddy Church? Baba Church, Daddy Church Lenny. He said, you were just doing this all by yourself. He said, no, I was talking to someone. He was showing me this vehicle. So I was just... No. She said, I saw you when you were coming out of the church gate. So I greeted you. You responded. And from that time, you were doing like this. No, the man said, no, mama. The man was talking to me. Said, I didn't see any man. It was only you. And I've been wondering since that time what happened to you. He said that was the first vehicle. 2 years later, he was in his house in the kitchen with his wife. Talking and saying, mama, your food. And they were talking, a car drove in into their premises. So he looked at the car from the window and said, Mom, somebody is out there. He said, Dad, you go and check. I'll continue with the food. He got outside and the man said to him, I brought this vehicle for you. He said, Just wait there. One leg here, one leg here. Don't move. As he turned to call, Mommy! Want to subbe moto miwa? Come! And he turned back. The man was gone. The man was gone. And the compound was large. So he ran to the gates. There is no way he could run within 2 seconds and run out of the gate. He ran to the gate to tell the security man, where is the man who ran out of this place? The security man said, nobody came in, nobody went out. He said, the gate has been locked and I've been leaning on the gate in the last 2 hours. He said, if you've been leaning on the gate and nobody came in, nobody... This vehicle that they drove into the compound, who brought it in? The security man said, nobody came in here. I have been standing here. The man said, no, it cannot be. Then the Lord said to him, I'm remembering the labor of your love. I came to demonstrate who I am. There is somebody that I'm preaching to. God is able. 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 Somebody shout, I want the power. I know you have questions. I know you are struggling. But God is saying, let me do what only I can do. Only me, allow me. Allow me. You have questions. Some of you are almost giving up. You're about throwing in the towel. You are saying, I cannot continue. The devil is even telling you, you've crossed 6 rivers. And you are tired. The Lord said you shall cross 7. But there is no more strength in you to cross the 7th. Why don't you just go back? And I always say to people, if the devil, seeing you've crossed 6 rivers, and you have one more in front, and he's saying you don't have a strength to cross over, but he's assuring you you can backslide 7 rivers, 6 rivers, that is to tell you that you have enough in you that can take you over one more river. If the devil is saying, go back after 10 years of the ministry, 20 years of the ministry, go back. He's telling you there is more in you to push you forward. Keep going forward. Keep moving forward. You are not a monument. You are a movement. You are not a monument. You are a movement. I pray over your life, you will make it. Amen. The church of Christ is meant to encounter the miraculous. I was preaching in Puerto Rico. And after signs and wonders took place, and people were running up and down jubilating, one of the host pastors said, the only thing that would have surprised us is if we gather like this and there are no miracles. He said, it's not a surprise that miracles are happening. It's part of the package of the church. And these signs shall follow you. It's part of the package. We are too timid to ask the Lord for signs. And when we ask, we immediately doubt because it looks like he will not answer. Apostle Babalola took 7 of his disciples, and some of them I worked with them, knew them very well. As the second generation, I will call them, I call myself third generation. And this same Pastor MB Oyeyemi was one of them. And in those days, if he said to you in Yoruba, "Eja sare logba do anbe," all of them will look at themselves. Let's quickly go and pray. I mean, you go with him for 1 hour, you may not come back for the next 3 days. So they always ask themselves, Taloni kinlo wa nitosi when. So, but 7 men followed him. And as they got to the mountaintop, he said, "Boys, wait here. I'll go over there, I'll pray, and I'll be back soon." Then he turned back and looked at these young men. And he said, "Take this loaf of bread." In Yoruba, he said to them, "Ema jele titimo ma fide." Continue to eat this till I return. So he gave them a loaf of bread. And the first night passed. And everybody said, "That's what we were afraid of." He said, "Let's just quickly go and pray." Now he hasn't come down overnight. And one of them said, "We have a loaf of bread that he gave us there. Let's just take some beets, eat and drink some water, and we wait for him." So they cut the bread, the loaves, took little portions out, ate that, put the rest in the bag. Papa didn't come the following morning. So one of them said, "Since we did not prepare to fast and pray, let's eat again." They looked in the bag and the bread had grown back. So they asked themselves, "Did anybody change this loaf of bread?" He said, "No." So they ate from it again up to half and put the rest back. In the evening, they opened the bag. The loaf of bread had grown back. 7 men ate 1 loaf of bread for 7 days. So when Apostle Babalola eventually showed up and he was singing and coming, some of them said, "Papa, you didn't tell us you were going to stay this long." One of them said, "That's not the question. That's not the question we have. Sir, the loaf of bread you gave to us, we have been eating it for 7 days. It keeps growing back." Papa looked at them and smiled. He said, "I told you in Yoruba, Shebi Moso Ema Je Titi Moma Afide. Continue to eat this till I return. There is a sufficient power. Power that does not fail. Anointing that does not fail. Revelation that does not fail. The Almighty that does not fail. Continue in this walk. Continue in this service. Someone that I'm talking to today, you will not die before your time." Jump to your feet and shout, my Father, I want the power." Go ahead, somebody, and begin to ask for that power. Ask for the power. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Something is already happening in the house. Authority is walking. Power is already moving. Activation of gifts from above. Something called revival. Something called rejuvenation is already at work in you. The deep in me is calling to the deep in you. There is the deep in you that must not dry out. I've come to hold hands with some people here that you're not going to fizzle out. You're not going to dry out. Oh, Lord, send us the fire. Archbishop Benson Idahosa did great program. 3 days. Listen. Let the spirit continue. Just listen if you can listen. 3 days of wonderful miracles, signs, the lame walking, cripples walking, blind seeing. And while people were celebrating the last day, and he was giving the announcement, Apostle Johnson Suleiman was a chorister in the church then. He witnessed it. What I'm about to say. Up there in the gallery, while people were hopping around celebrating, a woman tumbled, fell down from the gallery, headlong on the concrete floor, and her head smashed. Splattered all over. Brain splattered. Blood everywhere. Archbishop Benson and I kept reading the notices. People were yelling and crying. Apostle Johnson Suleiman was a chorister there. He jumped off to go and see whether they could help. He said when he got there and he saw the gory sight, he began to cry too. And people were wondering, did the Archbishop not hear the noise and the wailing of people? He just kept reading the notices. Announcement day one, announcement for the next meeting next year. And he continued. When he finished the announcement, he said to everybody, give way, clear the road, move away from there. And as they moved away from there, from where he was standing, he spoke to the dead girl. He said, spirit that left the lady, come back into her. And the splattered brain, like a movie, with blood and water, like a movie, moved back. The skull broken, moved back. And the lady rose from the dead. And the whole church erupted with praise and thanksgiving. Archbishop Idahosa closed. He said, now we can close the service. And I said to myself, do you know what that great man of God was thinking? Jesus cannot start a service 3 days ago, and the devil will come and end the service today. Did you hear me? Will he come and put the church to shame? That because they were celebrating all that had happened 3 days ago, it ended with the corpse of somebody. So Archbishop Idahosa did not bother about what the devil was doing. He was bothered with his announcement. And after that, he spoke like God. Spirit that left her, come back. That is what you are going to operate in from today. You are going in this power. You are going in this revelation. You are going in this anointing to deliver your wife, deliver your children, deliver your ministry, deliver the church, deliver your street. You are going to do it in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost. Somebody shall, Lord, release the power to me. Batobaro, Batobaro, arayo to me, ojo emi mi mayora, jekora sori mi, Batobaro. Batobara, arayo to me. Yeah! Ojo emi mi mayora, jekora sori mi. Maybe you've been struggling with your ministry. Batobara, Batobara, arayo to all. Ojo emi mi mayora, jekora sori mi. Ojo emi mi makora, jekora sori wa. Ojo emi mi mayora, jekora sori. Batobara, say, Batobara, Batobara, arayo tuwa. Ojo emi mi mayora,